days, the old ship of Zion is going to carry us home. Looking forward to that day. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. Begin reading in verse number 1 as we stand to our feet. 1 Kings, chapter 17, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." I want you to take note of just a few things. In verse number 4, notice what the Bible says. He says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You ought to underline that in your Bible, that word there. Verse number 9, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, Get thee to Zarephath, and which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. You ought to underline that or circle that. I've commanded a woman there to sustain thee. Verse number 10, he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city, and behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And I want to preach tonight on this thought, the lessons learned from being there. The lessons learned from being there. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I pray that you'll help us tonight. Help me. I need thy strength and thy wisdom, thy guidance. I need the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. Lord, I pray that you would make yourself known to us in a mighty way tonight. Help us, Lord, to learn what you have for us to learn. And Lord, we'll give you the glory, for it's the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find in the story here the announcement of a man by the name of Elijah. All of a sudden, he comes upon the scene. We don't read anything about his childhood. We don't read anything about his history. We just find out that here he's a Tishbite, and he's from the land of Gilead. And I'm thinking tonight, as we look at him and we think of his life, the question is asked, is there a bomb in Gilead? And from Gilead comes a man by the name of Elijah. And what a man he is. His very name is Elijahu, which means my God, Jehovah, is he. And tonight he was a man of God. There's no doubt about it. He come from the other side of Jordan and possibly was from the tribe of Manasseh or the half-tribe of Manasseh or from Gad. But God sent him into this land. And the Bible introduces us to him as he's standing before Ahab. And when he's standing before Ahab, he's come with some very difficult news to say. He's come to say there's going to be a drought for 3 years. There's not going to be any rain nor dew upon the land because God's children, the children of Israel, have turned their back on God. Now, after he makes that announcement, God knows that the people are going to blame him for this because of his prophecy. And God says, now I want you to get out of here and I want you to get over there. And he sends him to there. And so we read of this. We read, if you were to go in the Bible and you were to study this, you'd read in chapter 15 and chapter 16 about the decay of Israel, about their spiritual decay. And it was brought on because there was a whole slew of kings. There was several generations of wicked kings. I'm reminded of that statement that Lee Robertson used to say all the time. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And in the land of Israel, the leadership had gone the wrong way. And there were 6 wicked kings in a row, starting with Nadab and going all the way up through Ahab at this time. And the 6th was Ahab. And he had, of course, a wicked wife. You know her. Her name was Jezebel. And while Baal worship had already been happening, now they officially brought it to the kingdom. And it was a part of the kingdom. And Jezebel was a leader in this and bringing this in. And she had prophets that sat at her table and was feasting wonderfully. And when God's people sin tonight, we need to realize it's only the word of God proclaimed by the servants of God that can call people back. That can call people back from their evil deeds and literally from the dead because people get spiritually dead. When there was godly kings on the throne, God blessed his people. When there were wicked kings, God sent judgment. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you're going to find judgment, 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 repentance, blessing, judgment, judgment, judgment. Because they would turn back to God just long enough to get the blessings of God, and then they'd say, all right, let's bring back this idolatry, and let's bring back this Baal worship. It reminds me a whole lot of our country. You know, we have something like 9/11 that takes us to our knees, and for a day or a week or maybe a month, we're crying out to God. But then we found out we made it through this. Let's go back to living the way that we want to live and doing what we want to do. What a sad thing that is. The only hope for our land is it's for the people of God to be what God wants us to be again. And Israel had fallen into sin and into idolatry, so God sends Elijah to warn Ahab about the judgment of God. After delivering the message of the drought to come, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him, saying in verse number 3, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And so God tells Elijah it's time to leave the land. And he takes Elijah there. The Bible says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded that the ravens to feed thee there. So Elijah goes and he's in a place all by himself. And when we think about that, this is so very important. What we do in private will determine the blessings of God in public. What we do in our private lives will determine the power of God upon our lives. It's not what you do at the house of God. It's not what you do on Sundays and Wednesdays that matters most. It's what you do when you're in the privacy of your own home, when you're in the privacy of your own place, when you're there all by yourself. We say we want the blessings of God, but it's only superficial if it's just a Sunday morning thing or a church time thing. We must realize that when we're in the private places, that we need God. We need God to be first and foremost in our lives. An obedient servant can always depend upon the Lord's care. And Elijah obeyed the Lord. He hid himself for 3 years. He had a private ministry. And this private ministry would determine the power of God upon his life. And God taught Elijah some lessons there. And I want to look at some things tonight. I want you to look first of all at the lesson learned at the brook. The lesson learned at the brook. Now there's no doubt that when we see this story, we're going to begin to realize some things. The Bible says, let's look at it together, verse number 2, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did. That you ought to mark that in your Bible. He went and did. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Spurgeon once said, and you've heard this all throughout your life, where God guides, he provides. And that's true, isn't it? And God guided Elijah to go to the brook. And God was going to teach Elijah some lessons when he got there to the brook. We must learn to listen to God. We must realize how important it is for us to listen to the voice of God. The Bible says in the Psalm 37, verse number 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. God was removing Elijah from the land. He was removing Elijah from this land, from his people, because he was getting ready to send judgment upon the people. But he was sending Elijah there so that he could teach Elijah some wonderful things. And when Elijah gets there, I want you to think about this. Jezebel has a table, the Bible teaches us. And at this table, there's 400 prophets that are sitting and eating. No doubt they're eating sumptuously and faring very well. And Elijah could have been there at the brook, and he could have been thinking, you know, here I am at the brook with just a little bit, a handful of morsel, a handful of meat, a little bit of water. But he knew that God had sent him there, and he knew that God wanted him to be where he was. And sometimes we need to realize that it doesn't always look good, and it doesn't always look appealing, but God sometimes sends us there. And when we get there, he's going to teach us some things. He's going to work in our lives, and he's going to work in our midst in such a way that he can prove himself to us. And Elijah's there at the brook. And God sends ravens to bring him food. Can you imagine eating food out of a raven's mouth? Now, a raven's a bird of prey. Ravens are ravenous. That's what they are. They devour things. Ravens are very unclean, and the Old Testament law declared them to be unclean. I want you to know tonight, God can use anything or anyone to carry out His will. Ravens were known to be able to only bring a small portion of something. His meals, no doubt, were light. I don't know how many ravens came. But every morning and every evening, he didn't bring enough to stockpile him up. He just helped him to realize, you got to trust me day by day. You got to trust me in the morning, you got to trust me in the evening, and then you got to trust me the next morning, you got to trust me the next evening. These were lessons learned at the brook. Ravens neglected feeding their young. Think about that. But they fed Elijah. You want to know why? Because the one that created them sent them Elijah's way. And the place that looks like there's no way you can be blessed, there's no way you can have anything good, there's no way anything good or right or wonderful can happen here, it's there that God sends us sometimes to prove Himself to us. And we see here that God was teaching Elijah some lessons, and he learned some lessons at the brook. God provided meat and bread and water daily, water from the brook and meat and bread from the ravens. And the day came, though, when the brook dried up. Think about it. God sends him there, and then the brook dries up because God's teaching him some lessons. Not because of sin did the brook dry up. Not because he was out of God's will. This was because God had another place for him to go. He had another there for him to be. He had somewhere else that he was going to send him. God had another place that he wanted to prove himself to Elijah, and he was going to use Elijah to prove himself to someone else. And it helped Elijah to realize that he had to trust God and not the brook. You know, we get to where we trust our jobs. We get to trust our bank account. We trust everything. But really, I want you to know tonight, the only thing that we can trust in that's always going to come through is the Lord. Your job may be gone tomorrow. Sickness may come your way. But with faith in the Lord, I want you to know you can face any trial, any trouble, any difficulty. Think about it. God said, Elijah, I want you to leave here, and I want you to go there. And Elijah goes to the brook, not an appealing place to be. There's a famine in the land. There's a drought in the land. He's watching the water every day dry up more and more. This is where God told him to go. This is where God told him to be. And so as he gets there and he's there by the brook, God says, I'm going to feed you. And sends ravens. That wouldn't be what we would have chosen, would it? We would have said, why not a dove? You know? Why not something else but a raven? And then the day comes that Elijah just continues doing what God wants him to do. Stand by the brook. Stand faithful. Stand in God's will. He did not sin. He did not gripe. He did not complain. And then God allows the brook to dry up. You ever feel that way in life? You just feel like the brook dries up. You're doing the right thing. You're not allowing sin to come into your life. You're living for the Lord. And it just seems like difficult things happen. But Elijah had peace because he knew that God took him there. And when the brook dried up, God said, now I've got somewhere else for you to go. I've got something else for you to do. See, God works in our lives to guide us, to direct us, to put us where He wants us to be. And He allows things to happen so that we can learn to trust Him. And so now, we see not only the lesson learned at the brook, I want you to see the lesson learned from the barrel. The Bible says in verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. So there's another there, isn't there? Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And I want you to notice this, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Verse number 5, we see the command of the Lord to Elijah. And the Bible says that, verse 3 and 4, we see the command of the Lord. In verse number 5, the Bible says, so he went and did. We see in verses 8 through verse number 14, Elijah instructing the woman. And then the Bible teaches us that the woman obeyed and she went and did. I'm telling you, there's blessings in obeying the Lord. There's blessing in obeying the things of God. So God has taken Elijah away from the brook. He fed Elijah there. The brook dries up and he says, now go to Zarephath. Now Zarephath, I want you to know tonight, means refining. And God's refining Elijah. He's putting him through the fire. He's putting him through some difficult things. And he's going to tell him to do something I think is, to me, is very difficult to think about what Elijah did right here. But he's refining Elijah. Just like silver goes through that refining fire. Goes through that fire where it gets so hot that it boils out all the impurities to the point to where you can look in the silver and you can see your reflection perfectly. No impurities. Think about that. God has to put us through the fire sometimes. God has to put us through some difficult things. But through it all, if we'll trust the Lord, God will take care of us. And there were some lessons learned from a barrel. A barrel! Lessons learned at the brook. Now lessons learned from a barrel. Think about it. What God can use to get a hold of our lives and to prove Himself to us. God was refining Elijah in his private life. He was putting him through this fire. And Elijah was seeing this poor widow and her son. They're about to die. Think about it. They are about to die. They have a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal. She said, I'm going to get 2 sticks. I'm going to build a fire. I'm going to bake a little morsel of bread. Me and my son are going to eat it. And then we're going to die. Well, what an outlook. How difficult it must have been. How difficult it must have been for him to say, in verse number 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Why is that? Well, the Lord was not only refining Elijah, he was refining this lady. And he was saying, if she would listen to the voice of the Lord. Sometimes God asks us to do some of the most mysterious things, I think. It's not up to us to question why. It's just up to us to do it. It's up to us to be obedient to the Lord. I heard somebody say, it's not about compromise. We ought not use the word compromise in the church. We either obey or disobey. Churches don't compromise, they disobey. Individuals don't compromise, they disobey. That's a Bible word. Disobey. And we need to learn that when we obey God, God has great things for us. It's not always easy to do what God says to do, but what God tells us is always right. You can't go wrong by doing what God wants you to do. And here is Elijah at Zarephath. And he sees this woman with just enough to make the last meal. And he says, I want you to feed me first. Now, I think that was hard for Elijah to do. But in the same sense, I don't think he had a bit of problem saying it because he knew it's what God wanted him to do. Dear friends, tonight when we can get in our mind, in our heart, and in our soul that God has a plan and a purpose for our life, and regardless of what anybody else may think or what anybody else may say, if we'll just get in here and do God's will, God will take care of everything else. We can't worry what everybody else thinks about us, what everybody else says about us. We would do well if we would learn in our lives, in our private lives, and in our public lives, that if we'll do what God wants us to do in private, that God will bless us in our public ministry. He only asks us to give Him what we have. He'll take care of everything else. And that's exactly what He was saying to this woman. Just give me what you got, and I'll take care of everything else. You remember the boy? 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Lord Jesus said, if you'll just give me what you have, I'll take care of the rest. He blessed it, broke it, fed the multitude, and gathered up 12 baskets. That's amazing. When we surrender what we have to the Lord, what God can do with it. Don't hold back, or you're going to miss what God has for you. And you know the story. She did exactly what Elijah told her to do. She fetched him some water, and then she brought him some meal, the bread first, and they ate of the bread, and lo and behold, every time she'd go back, that cruse of oil didn't fail, that barrel did not fail. I'm telling you, every day, I mean throughout the whole drought, they had enough food to make it because she was willing to do what God wanted her to do. But I want you to see finally tonight the lesson learned from the boy. Now imagine this. Elijah's serving the Lord, doing the right thing. He goes into the brook, and there at the brook, God supplies his need and takes care of him and feeds him by the ravens. The brook dries up, and he says, I want you to go to Zarephath. Gets over to Zarephath. Here's this lady that surrenders everything she has to the man of God, and she does what God tells her to do. She gives. God blesses. Takes care of everything. The cruse of oil doesn't fail. The barrel of meal doesn't fail. But notice what happens. The Bible says in verse number 18, 17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took unto him, and he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Elijah's done what God told him to do. Elijah goes there to the brook. Elijah goes there to Zarephath. The woman went and did what the man of God told her to do. And God provides the meal. He provides the oil. She's been obedient to the Lord. Elijah was obedient to the Lord at the brook. She's been obedient to the Lord with the barrel and with the meal. And the boy dies. The prospect was they were going to starve to death. But now they've got food. And the boy dies. Just didn't make sense, did it? This woman said, well, you calling my sin to remembrance? Have you brought upon me the death of my son? She's so discouraged. So defeated. But she's going through one of those fiery trials. I want to remind you what the Bible says in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I don't always understand the trials that we go through in life. But I know that when I suffer for my Lord, it's all right because one of these days His glory is going to be revealed and I'm going to be there to rejoice with Him and to enjoy that time together. This widow faced a great test. There's no doubt about it. Her faith failed her. The Bible teaches us in verse number 18, just in that sense of the word. She reacted in a way that I guess the only way she knew how, because she said, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. And even the afflictions and the difficulties we face in life, I want you to know, God uses that to refine us, to purify us. And the story goes, the boy dies. And Elijah could have just simply cried with her, but he knew that there was a God in heaven that could do great and mighty things. And he takes the boy and takes him in his arm and carries him up to his own room and lays him upon his own bed. And three times he lays his whole body on top of the boy. Somebody said, and I don't know if this is true, once in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, and once in the name of the Holy Ghost. But he laid himself upon the bed three times. He laid himself on top of the boy. And he cried out to the God of heaven. And the Bible teaches us that as he cried out to God, he says, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He stretched himself upon him three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice and he revived. There's all kinds of things we can learn from that. We could talk about the things that preceded the revival. We could talk about the energy that produced the revival. And then we could talk about the evidence follows the revival. But we see that he revived. And God gave him life. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Boy, we must realize that just like Elijah, we have to agonize sometimes over the souls of men and women and boys and girls. We need to cry out to God for our family and our friends that don't know the Lord, for our work co-workers, for our neighbors. And I want you to know that God can do something in their lives. But we need to cry out in the church again. There's times I feel like we need to lay flat on our face and call out to God and say, oh Lord God, would you send breath back into your church again? Would you put power back into your church again? But the thing is, for that to happen, God may have to send us there. And there's not an easy place to be. But when you go there and you obey God and you watch God work in your life, revival will come. Your hearts will be stirred and you'll live for the Lord in a greater way. You know what you're going through? You know the trials you're facing? Do you know the difficulties that just seems to be thrown at you? You know the things that just don't look really appealing to you, but it's just where God has you? Just trust the Lord there. And watch God work there. Obey Him there. Every morning and every evening, He'll send a raven by. And when the brook dries up, He'll send you over to Zarephath, and He'll refine you a little bit more, and He'll prove Himself to you there. And then, when everything seems to be getting a little bit better, there'll be another trial come, another heartache come. But don't think it strange concerning the fiery trials. The Lord Jesus suffered. The Bible says if we suffer with Him, we'll also rejoice with Him. So God's just working in our lives. And tonight, we need to learn some lessons from there. Don't look at everything that happens to you as being a tragedy. I told you the other night, I'm the world's best pity party person. person. Boy, what a sad thing it is. If I'll do what God wants me to do and just be there where God wants me to be, God will feed me. God will provide. God will refine me. God will revive me. That's what God will do there. Isn't that amazing? Are you there? I want you to know there's where you need to be. It may not be a brook drying up, or it may not be where you have just a barrel with the last meal, or it may not be where the boy's dying. It's just where God wants you to be. That's where there is. And you have to trust the Lord there. In times of plenty, praise Him. In times of famine, trust Him. But just be there where God wants you to be. Father, we thank You for Your love. That mercy and grace is so wonderful and sufficient. Well, Lord, we pray that You'll help us to realize that when You place us there, that there's where You're going to take care of us. And Lord, if it's going through a trial, help us to trust Thee there. Lord, if it's receiving a blessing, help us to praise Thee there. Whatever it is, help us to learn from this time in our life what You have for us to learn. And help us to go forward living for Thee. And Lord, we know that there's a day that's coming when there'll be a cloud the size of a man's hand in the sky, from which You're going to produce the rain. After years of famine, Lord, we think of what Elijah saw and how You took care of him. Lord, how You blessed the land once again with the rain. Help us tonight to be obedient. We'll thank You and praise You, for it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's quietly stand to our feet tonight.